97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Stop! Don't touch! I'm Eddie Eagle, and I like you too much to see you get hurt, and that's why I say, if you spot a gun, just walk away. Go find an adult, go tell him what you found. Guns shouldn't be left lying around. Yeah, stop! Don't touch! Leave the area, tell an adult. Do it with me now, stop! Don't touch! Leave the area, tell an adult.
I love it. Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Right. Welcome back. Boy, that brings back a lot of memories. Eddie the Eagle, the NRA's character designed to teach kids about gun safety. I mean, all the times we hear these stories and you're thinking to yourself, this is nothing new. This has been around a long time.
You know what? I've never heard of him up until just recently. Seriously.
Bo Matthews.
I know.
You were out of high school by then, so
maybe that's what it is. But when I learned of Eddie the Eagle, I thought, now that is a great program. And boy, the headlines we've been seeing lately with the 4-year-olds and the 5-year-olds. There was just one this week, shot somebody with an AR. I'm like, or no, shot themselves.
Yes.
It's just heartbreaking. And at what point do you start talking to kids about guns? They're talking to kids about a lot of things nowadays a little earlier.
So many things have changed. Lars Dalside is joining us this morning. A friend of mine, I've had him on my show many times over the years, spokesman for the NRA as well. Lars, good morning to you.
Morning. Appreciate you guys having me on today.
Absolutely. Good to hear your voice again. It has been a while. I mean, this Eddie the Eagle has been around since 1988.
Yeah, 1988. We had our then president, the NRA past president, Marion Hammer. She got together with a group of elementary school teachers, police officers, child psychologists, and others in the field, and they developed this program specifically for the pre-K through fourth graders to teach them what to do if they came upon a firearm. We came up with the four simple rules. If you see a gun, stop. Don't touch, run away, and tell a grown-up.
I love that.
And we've been teaching that lesson for, as you said, since 1988. And at this point in time, I believe our numbers are we've held this seminar for more than 32 million kids across the United States.
My goodness. That's as probably ingrained into those that have heard the message as much as stop, drop, and roll.
Yeah.
You know?
There you go.
It's good.
You got to work it in early, obviously.
Well, here's the thing about it. For people who are gun owners, there's a responsibility that goes along with that, right? Just like your First Amendment rights have a responsibility not to yell fire in a crowded theater, with your Second Amendment rights, you have the responsibility to be a safe gun owner. The NRA preaches it. Everybody I know who's a legal gun owner preaches it. The first part of that is keeping your firearm locked up if you're not concealed carrying it or whatever the case may happen to be. I mean, that's the problem, Lars, we seem to be experiencing here in St. Louis. It's important, and I don't want to downplay at all the importance of teaching kids these safety issues, because that is important. But priority number one for every gun owner I know is safety. If you don't have the gun on you, it's locked up somewhere. It should be.
Well, we believe that each individual gun owner has their own each individual needs when it comes to the safety. And for someone like myself, I'm a single guy, no ex-wife, no kids, nothing like that. I'm the only one in my apartment. So when I'm home, my firearm is basically secured.
Right.
That's not the same for my brother who has kids. And it's entirely different rules and entirely different things that each individual person needs to do for themselves. And we definitely encourage those who, if they have kids in the home, make sure that everybody's well educated on the whole thing and that their firearms are secure.
Well, and as technology has changed, and by the way, this segment brought to you by Razorback Armory, that does sell gun safes for your nightstand or whatever. Secure them. Go to RazorbackArmory.com for more information. There's technology has changed so much. Now you have the thumbprint ID to pop open the safe. The electronics has just moved so fast, so there really is no excuse. Lars, I hope you agree that people cannot store their firearms safely and securely and out of the reach of kids.
Oh yeah, as I said, we encourage the safe firearm storage for those, as it meets their individual wants and needs. And we expect that everybody to be a responsible gun owner. We have plenty of classes when it comes to both handling, storing, and using firearms available throughout the NRA.
Well, we've taken the problem is we've taken the responsibility away from parents and put it back on the inanimate object. That's the problem I have with it. They want to blame the gun. Well, it's the proliferation of guns that's causing this problem. No, it's not. It's people who have no respect for the firearm, who bring it home, who leave it laying on an unlocked cabinet or whatever. They know they have kids in the house. Then a kid finds it, something tragic happens. That's not the gun's fault. That's the individual's fault who put the gun there, and they should have known better to begin with. That sickens me. You know, I've got a kid who's been involved in youth shooting sports for years on a trap team, and the sad truth is that used to be common practice across America. Kids were exposed to, you know, Uncle Joe's gun standing in the corner because he needed to run out in the middle of the night and kill a fox that was trying to get into the hen house.
Or a possum or something.
Yeah. I was told growing up, we'd go visit my uncles on a farm. You see that gun behind the door? Don't touch it.
Yeah.
And if I catch you near it, I'm going to blister your rear end. And you don't get. And I just knew, you grew up knowing that. And today we're removed from those more rural environments, and these problems generally happen in these urban areas where people aren't teaching those lessons to their children, and they're just not doing proper gun safety. So I guess, Lars, my question for you is, how widespread is the program these days? Do you wait for people to come to you? Do you offer it to school systems? How does it get distributed?
It gets distributed overall, usually through local law enforcement.
Okay.
We go ahead and we send them out. Officially, they apply for a grant, and we make sure that the grants usually get approved overall. And we send them out the materials, their workbooks, their videos, their stickers, and all sorts of great things, along with the mascot system. We give them the general program of what to do, how to teach it overall, and they'll go out from everything to elementary schools, to local libraries, community events. You know, we've had them at even Major League Baseball games and stuff like that, where they'll go out there and help to spread the overall message. We have people, like I said, they have been doing this since 1988. Maybe not the same people, but definitely the same departments. And as I said, it's one of the things that we're very proud of, and we get stories all the time about how kids come upon a firearm in a playground, in a bush, in their neighborhood, wherever it might be, and they'll go ahead and run off, and they'll tell it, and there's a little story about, yeah, they had an Eddie Eagle class last week, last month, last year, and, you know, we thank them for going through and recognizing this danger and making sure that the proper people were notified.
I wonder if Eddie Eagle's ever been hanging out with Fred Bird at Busch Stadium. That might be, you know, kind of cool. It might be a little foul, but oh, just kidding,
hey.
Just kidding. Yeah, here I'm here all week. So here's a question though: in this woke world that we live in, when this program is introduced to a possible idea for the curriculum for young kids, do you get pushback from programs, from schools, from school boards, things like that? Just curious if that's an issue.
We've had pushback here and there. Like I said, it usually does depend on the system, and it usually depends on the people involved. But for the most part, when we're teaching this lesson, you know, there can be a reaction to the NRA from some parents that don't understand what it is that they're actually offering. But this is one of a handful of classes and programs that the NRA offers that has nothing at all to do with firearms. There are no firearms present. They're not part of the class. It doesn't come into play at all. And once they hear and they understand that this is teaching the kids, giving them a very basic collection of phrases for what to do, as well as workbooks and exercises and programs on what to do if they come across a firearm and to get away from it, they're usually, you know, more than happy to let their kids take part in the program.
I would hope so.
Yeah, and I hope there are people listening today. Maybe they go to their local police department and ask them to present that to their school district. If you're doing this through law enforcement, I mean, people could reach out that way and make a request of their local police, right?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And if, like, the local police departments, if they don't have an Eddie Eagle program there, they can reach out to us here at the NRA, or, you know, they can send an email to eddie@nrahq.org. That gets right into the people running the programs, and they'll run them through the application system, send off the materials needed, and teach them how to get the class up and running.
And, yeah. Lars, what about, now I'm thinking about homeschooled or even virtual schooled parents. Is there a program that Eddie the Eagle can be just ordered by an individual family?
Yeah, overall, the program can be taught by just about anybody. The main thing is we want to make sure this gets out to as many kids as possible. So while the overwhelming majority of the people who do put on the program are police officers, we have a number of other folks that are just, you know, active in the community overall, you know, whether it be from, as you were saying, the homeschool parents group, Neighborhood Watch, or just anyone at all that wants to teach this life-saving message for kids.
Yeah, yeah. Lars, I know when I used to have you on my show a lot, you were working with the legislative arm of the NRA. Are you still active in that?
Still working on the legislative side, yes, sir.
Yeah, I know. So what are some of the big headlines over there? I looked at your website probably a couple days ago, and there were some stories on there about the pistol brace guidance.
Well, probably the biggest thing that we have right now is just last week that Georgia became the 25th state to pass constitutional carry.
Yes.
Here in the United States. That's 9 in the past year, and as I said, 25 overall. So half of the country right now offers constitutional carry, which basically means you don't need to pay the government or get a permission slip from the government in order to exercise your constitutional right. As long as you're legally allowed to possess a firearm, you can carry that firearm for self-defense.
Wow, yeah. That's fantastic. That's great news. And the push still continues for more states, and you're involved with that directly?
Oh, definitely, definitely. We're working all of the time. You know, whenever there's a legislative session open, we have our people pushing for it. It's like I said, we've really seen an uptick lately. Is Jason Weimay, who is the executive director of NRA ILA, you know, our political side of the operation. He said that the COVID pandemic really turbocharged this effort because people became to realize, with the limited resources and all this talk about defund the police, that they were going to be their last line of defense, that they were going to be the ones who are ultimately responsible for their own personal safety. And that's why we saw the uptick in first-time gun owners, and that's why we've seen this push right now for constitutional carry as well.
Wow, that's fantastic news. Thanks for doing the heavy lifting on this.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and the other thing that I was going to mention, you guys have your annual meeting coming up next month. I'll never forget a few years ago when they held it here in St. Louis. I mean, I wish you'd come back, but I don't blame you for not coming back. But it sounds like Texas is a great place for that.
Well, you know, I had fun in St. Louis, and it was my first time there. I had it on my list to get off to the Arches. I had a number of colleagues that got to go off and visit the Arch and go through the whole tour and all yeah. that. But unfortunately, when you're working on the public relations side, you don't really have that much free time at these things. So didn't make it out there. Maybe again one day. But yeah, we have our annual meeting in Houston. It kicks off on May 26th, and it runs through that Sunday. We're going to have, I think overall they said it's 14 acre of guns, gear, and Second Amendment supporters. It's usually one of our biggest and most attended events that we always have. We're going to have a leadership forum where we don't have any of our confirmed speakers announced yet right now, but it's usually the bigwigs when you're thinking of the local, state, and national folks that are supporters of firearm legislation and policy. They're going to come out there. We have, you know, one of the big favorites is the Wall of Guns. There's our annual firearms law seminar, a Hunter's Leadership Forum, Friends of NRA fundraising event. It's a great couple of days to get out there and find out where your Second Amendment rights stand here in the United States today.
Yeah. A lot of fun, lots of good stuff to see, and my favorite guest, my favorite speaker when they were here was Ted Nugent.
Oh, nice.
He just did a great job.
How many people do you expect this year?
Well, usually we run somewhere between the 70,000 to 80,000 for the entire event. We had very good numbers earlier in February for our Great American Outdoor Show. It was down a little from the last year, but that was to be expected, you know, since it was the first time we've coming back since the pandemic. The same is true for this. It's our first annual meeting since the pandemic. And so while we are expecting good numbers, they might not be as big as they were before, but we expect something in the 70,000 to 80,000.
That's wonderful. And will Eddie the Eagle be making an appearance?
Oh, Eddie will definitely be making an appearance. He'll be there. He'll be parading around, and you'll see him taking pictures with kids and families during the entire show.
Hey, Lars, great having you on again, my friend. It's been too long. We'll have to get you back on 2A Tuesday on my shows as well. So,
no, I love to do it. Appreciate you guys having me on.
That's you great. Bet. Lars Dahlside, spokesman for the National Rifle Association, the legislative arm, talking a little Eddie the Eagle, kid gun safety. Boy, you'd think it would just be common sense, but it's not.
You would think, but it's not. You're right. We're dealing with dumb people in the world.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of kids... there's a youth season coming up that you need to know about. We'll talk to our friend Tim Kjelsvik from Drury Outdoors, and we'll get to that coming up here in just a couple of minutes.
Get more at 971talk.com.